If you're a musician, it's one thing to have people tell you they don't like a particular song you wrote, but to receive death threats because of it, that's something altogether different. Well, that's exactly what happened to singer-songwriter Janis Ian. As a teenager in 1965, she recorded Society's Child, a pop song about an interracial romance.
Come to my door, baby. Face is clean and shining black as night. My mother went to answer, you know that you look so fine. Now I could understand your tears and your shame. She called you boy instead of your name. When she wouldn't let you inside. When she turned and said, but honey, he's not our kind. She says, I can't see you anymore.
Yep, this song was too much for the pop charts to handle in 1965, and it caused Ian a lot of grief. She went on to become one of the 1970s best loved artists with classics like the tune At 17. But the impact of Society's Child has stayed with her to this day. It's the title of her recently released autobiography. I asked Janis Ian to share the story behind Society's Child and how she came to write a song with so much insight at age 13.
I was one of, I think, three white girls in my school, so I was very much an outsider. And plus, I was Jewish, and all of my friends were black and Baptist because they listened to the coolest music. We were all listening to Ray Charles and what was then called race music, and I guess the other white kids were listening to Dick Clark and American Bandstand, which was pretty sanitized compared to what I was listening to. And we were all very conscious of race. My parents both worked in the civil rights movement, were very involved with the Civil Rights Congress, and my friends' parents were as well. And I was on a bus one day, and I saw a black and white couple. It must have been 15, 16. He was black, she was white. And they were obviously in love, and people on the bus were glaring at them, but they didn't notice. They were just looking at each other. And I started thinking, was this going to work? And the more I thought about it, the more I became convinced that it wouldn't work ultimately, that she would cop out, that her parents and the school would just not allow it. And that's the song I wrote, and I had no idea when we recorded it that it would ignite that kind of firestorm.
At one point, someone tried to get you to change the words of the song, as I understand it. What's that story?
Well, Shadow, my producer, who up until then had been noted for producing the Shangri-Las, he didn't really try to get me to so much as he gave me a choice. He said, if you will change Black as Night, because the opening line is, face is clean and shining black as night, he said, if you change that word black to anything else, I can guarantee you a number one record. And he said, but it's your choice. And a friend of ours was standing there, and he said, quote unquote, you whore now, you'll whore forever. And that was pretty strong words. I was 15 at the time. That was pretty strong. But from my point of view, hey, I was getting to make a record. How cool was that? You know, whether it was a hit or not was secondary.
Let me ask you, is that a scar? Or is it just a lesson learned from then that carries with you today?
I think it's both. I was surprised when I started writing the book, and I started with that chapter. I was surprised at how much emotion that incident stirred up, and I did quite literally go right into therapy and just sit there and talk about it and try to come out the other side of it, because it explained a lot of why audiences had always scared me a little bit. Well, of course, I mean, if you go on stage every day thinking that you're not going to survive the hour, you're going to be frightened of your audience. So in that sense, it was a scar, but as my therapist said to me, you know, scar tissue is stronger than regular tissue.
You start the prologue of your autobiography with a scene of your singing Society's Child at a concert hall in Encino. You were 15 years old. That's out here in California. Tell us what happened that night.
Well, the record had been out for about 6 months and was not getting played, and then Leonard Bernstein had suddenly featured it in a special, and all of a sudden KRLA went on it, and a bunch of other stations went on it across the country, and I started doing concerts. And by the time I hit Encino, it was probably my fourth or fifth time on a concert stage. And I sang my first four or five songs, and then I got to Society's Child, and I started to sing it, and right around the first chorus, somebody stood up in the audience and screamed, "Your lover, go home!" Mm. And I stopped, and then I just kept going, and suddenly another person was screaming it, and after about 10, 15 seconds, there was a group of 10 or 20 people who started to chant it. And then they stood up, and they were raising their fists and shaking them at me. And I remember one woman was just red, and I thought she was going to keel over. The audience and I were stunned. I had no idea what to do.
What did you do?
You know, I started to cry, and I put down the guitar because I didn't want the audience to see me crying, and I walked off stage. And then I ran to the ladies' room, and I really started to cry. And the words were just ringing in my ears. And the promoter came back and told me I had to go back out. And I said, "Look, I get death threats. You don't understand. I can't go back out there." And he said that I had to. And long story short, what he said in essence was, if you let them drive you off a stage now, they will do it to the next person and the next one and the next one. And then where will we be when only people they agree with are allowed on stage? So I went back on stage. I was pretty sure that I was going to be killed. I was terrified, and I started to sing, and they started to chant, and as I continued singing, I just looked at them, and members of the audience suddenly started taking it into their own hands and going over and telling them to shut up, and then all the ushers came down the aisle with their flashlights and shone them in these people's faces and ordered them out. And what amazed me, Tony, was that they didn't walk out, they slunk out. And I realized that the power of just a little 3.5-minute song, that it had quite literally conquered their hatred and shown them for the cowards and bullies that they were.
Amazing story. The issue of interracial romance, it's come a long way over the years. We have a president, as a matter of fact, who is the product of that kind of union. Mm-hmm. Interracial relationships, though, may still be controversial to some degree. How do you see the difference, if you see one, between interracial relationships today and the way they were when you were doing Society's Child?
You know, it's a huge difference from my viewpoint. There will always be those people who are just backward and ignorant. There'll always be those people. They need somebody to feel superior to. From my point of view, I live in Nashville, Tennessee. There is no way I could have lived in Nashville at 16 in 1966, 67. There's no way that Nashville would have had room for somebody like me then. I see interracial couples all the time in Nashville. I'm a Jew in Nashville. I'm a gay person in Nashville. It's a non-issue most of the time. That's a huge leap forward. You come to my door, baby. Your face is clean and shining black as night. My mama went to answer, you know, that you looked so kind. Now I could understand the tears and the shame. She called you boy instead of your name. When she wouldn't let you inside, when she turned and said, "But honey, he's not our kind." She said, "I can't see you anymore, baby. I can't see you anymore. You walk me down to school, baby, and everybody's acting deaf and blind until they turn and say, why don't you just stick to your own kind? My teachers all laugh, their smirking stares are cutting deep down in our affairs. Preachers of equality think they believe it, then why won't they just let us be?"
Singer-songwriter Janice Ian, her new book is called Society's Child, My Autobiography. You can hear more from Janice Ian, including a performance of her hit at 17. Go to nprnewsandnotes.org.
One of these days I'm gonna stop my listening. I'm gonna raise my head up high. One of these days I'm gonna raise up my glistening wings and fly. But that day will have to wait.